email on your podcast. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores. We are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way with intermittent volume problems.
Covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles, and alternative transportation, arts and culture, communication, and the internet. And today, making fun of my
stories.
Brother. Oh, I mean, yes.
Okay, yeah. Making fun of your brother. Let's start there.
It was just that one thing.
So what, he sent you an email?
The email that he sent the Sprocket, right?
He sent us a comment, I think, on one of our web posts.
Okay, yeah. And then...
I'm saying web post like it's a great fashionable word to say. I apologize to everyone on the internet.
But then if you remember, there was like some debate while we were recording. Oh, should we read it? No, let's not. No, no, I got to read it or else he'll call it. He'll say, hey, why did you use the...
And so now we know even if you do read his email, he's still going to call and say, why didn't you read my email?
But hey, he's listening, and this is...
What's up, Tito?
Hey, how's it going, Tito?
How's it going? Don't let the kids hear us swear and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah. Ella.
It happens.
These are words people use.
That's true. And not always just when they're mad. This is a thing. We were going to have a guest in tonight, but... He very good naturedly just kind of lost track of his schedule. And so we love Joe Dole from Joe Bike, and he will be coming back on the show at a later date.
Heck yeah.
And yeah.
Don't boycott his store just because he didn't come to the come to our podcast.
Right. Well, the thing that Joe is missing is number one, Ranger IPA, which I am about to pop open a bottle of. And also, over here on the guest drink table, I have Joe Grooming products. I think it's like a pomade for the hair or something.
Yes, hair pomade.
Yeah. So I was reading the Willamette Week's bar guide, which came out in the most recent issue of the Willamette Week,
the
independent news weekly here in Portland, Oregon. And they were talking a little bit about Old Town downtown, which is kind of... It's where everyone from out of town goes to drink and carouse and cause
sometimes
trouble.
From out of country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And apparently one of those clubs, according to this article, offers hair gel in the restroom because they have a policy against
no hats.
Yeah.
No hats.
So I thought that was interesting.
I like how they offer that as a consolation.
You can't wear a hat, but you can, in fact, gel your hair. And I haven't gelled my hair for a long time. I feel like it's like not nearly as much in fashion as it used to be.
No. I don't gel my hair, but sometimes I'll forget to rinse out my conditioner.
That's almost like gel. That's very close. Very close similarity. All right, I'm going to open up this Ranger IPA from New Belgium Brewing, who we would like them to sponsor us, I think.
But hey, but they're sponsoring other people.
They're sponsoring Livewire, which is the live vaudeville-styled variety show on OPB every Saturday. Which is pretty great. It's been running for a long time.
So if we spoke in more vaudevillian style.
Hey there, you ever ride a bicycle?
We're broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland. In the heart of Cascadia, yeah.
You have a way better vaudeville
voice. They're talking pictures.
Exactly. Have you ever taken in a film? That's true. I mean, honestly, any beer company that said, hey, we would like to give you beer so that you will talk about us when you do your show, that'd be cool.
I mean, unless you're like the National Socialist Beer Company, then
that's true.
We might have some second thoughts about that.
Well, you're closer to being a socialist than I am, right, Aaron? But
National Socialism is a different thing.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's funny on Facebook. I think we talked about capitalism with Michael Anderson, and there was a new thread that began on his page where he found this interesting kind of. It was like how capitalism is helping people somewhere in the world, and somebody else was like, "Capitalism never helps people." And Michael said, "Oh, I think this is all right." He basically reiterated what he was saying when he was on our show about capitalism, and he's got a pretty well thought out thing. So if you know Michael Anderson on Facebook, you could read that.
And you know, just complaining about capitalism to complain about capitalism is like that scene in Life of Brian where the People's Front of Judea are complaining about Rome. What have the Romans given us? Roads, sanitation.
Precisely. Exactly. So anyways, it's just you and me in the room, but we have lots of stories. So yes. I think this will be entertaining. If it's not entertaining, you can shoot us.
Yeah.
An email.
A non-fatal shot, please.
Yeah.
And I'm very sensitive.
That's it. You're opening a bottle.
I'm opening a bottle of sarsaparilla.
Nice.
From Jackson Hole Soda Company.
Jackson Hole Soda Company is not bad.
Snake River Sarsaparilla, it's called.
Yeah, yeah. Where is Snake River? The Snake River runs through Idaho, and I think what? It's the Loxa when it... the Snake River. Snake River goes into Yellowstone, I think.
That is a spicy sarsaparilla.
Nice.
That's good. It is bottled in Wyoming. I know that.
There we go.
Jackson, Wyoming.
Yeah. Steve, in Wyoming, have you ever had Jackson Hole sodas? I'm sure you have.
I bet it's just there on tap at every soda shop that is in Wyoming.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's see. What should we talk about first? Because we have a lot of things
that
we've been doing.
You were talking about New Belgium just now.
Yeah.
And
they make beer.
They make beer, and they sometimes sponsor people. And one of the people they sponsored was Film by Bike. No?
Ooh, nice segue. Nice tie-in. You get bonus points on that one.
Knocks it out of the park.
I'm impressed.
You know, I often compare myself to Babe Ruth. Not that like I'm all that great. Maybe a crappy, like the crappy batting average Babe Ruth, but every now and then.
Every now and again.
Yep.
Out of the park.
Out of the park.
Film by Bike knocked it out of the park this year.
Heck yeah, they did.
Yeah. You got the pass. You still have all the passes on your arms.
I still have all the wristbands.
So you have what? There's the one, the sparkly one was the week pass.
Yes, that's the festival pass.
The festival pass. You get to go to everything.
It gets me into everything, the street party, the all the films.
Yeah, and I missed the street party. How was that?
It was pretty cool.
Exciting.
Yeah.
A lot of people going, woo.
There's a lot of people there. The pedal-powered stage is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something you don't see that much of that around town.
There's still some tweaking they need to do with it. Every now and then they would lose power. Some connection would miss.
Right.
But I'm really excited for them to continue that every year.
Yeah, that's great.
And, you know, maybe, I don't know if they have volunteers pedaling or whatever, but I would love to do an hour or so for them.
Yeah. I was. It reminds me of one of our previous guests over in Virginia. Runs an event called Pedal Power, and I think they all generate power on bicycles using some sort of trainer that's hooked up to a generator, hooked up to electric brushes that cause sparks and that sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
And and I think they like cook breakfast with it when they're all done or something. So that's kind of cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Our guys from Crank My Chain were there. They had a bike confessional.
Yeah.
I did two confessionals.
Oh, nice. Were you absolved from all your sins?
Well, I got a hug from Tall Bike Jesus.
There we go.
So
that's absolution. Perfect.
That's at least implied absolution.
Nice.
Street party was cool. It's weird because I don't know anybody and I'm not a very socially outgoing person.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're only socially outgoing if you already have the in.
Right. If I know somebody,
you're not gregarious to strangers.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm not good at that. I'm a shy person, really, in general. So there's a lot of people dancing and a lot of people yelling, woo. I every now and then I join in and just kind of feel weird because I'm kind of standing by myself
in a crowd of one.
Yeah. Woo.
Well, there could be worse things.
Yeah, sure. I could be naked.
That's true. We'll get to that later.
More on that later.
Yeah. What films stick out to you?
Because
you saw them all.
My very favorite is the one out of Edinburgh. however it's supposed to be pronounced.
You know, I just saw that like printed about a month ago, and yeah. I didn't realize before that there was no like, it doesn't look like burrow when it's written, but I think that's how it's
pronounced. That's how they pronounce it.
Yeah.
Right?
That's where our podcast host lives.
But I've been pronouncing it for a very long time, like how I see it.
You Edinburgh.
Know,
Yeah.
And I know, I've known for a while that that's not how, but you know, you're conditioned and anyhow.
What can you do?
The film out of there about this guy who has like basically a pedicab and the cab gets jacked. He gets it back, but in the meantime, like his knee is injured.
Oh, wow.
And he meets these guys and they're like, well, take us up to the castle, which is like the highest point in the city.
Okay.
And so,
yeah.
You know, the whole movie is about him biking up there and it's just kind of like this epic. It was pretty cool.
Nice. And so, yeah. Does his knee get better in the end?
Not exactly, okay. But he does make it up to the top.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a cool film.
Yeah, yeah.
The winner of the film was The Man Who Lived on His Bike.
That was really, oh, this is a crisp film.
Yeah.
Very well done, very beautiful.
The guy was who made it was from Toronto, is that right? Or
No, Montreal.
Montreal.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, anybody who knows the difference would kill me, right?
But
now. Sorry about that.
Yeah, what was great about that is it's in the style of like a French film,
right?
You know,
right? Well, it's all what it's from the perspective of like if you had a camera mounted to the front wheel of the bicycle, basically,
right?
And it portrays this character in the film going through all the various stages of your day, like cooking breakfast and shaving,
doing office work,
yeah, and all while the guy is riding on his bike, so. A lot of hands-free writing in that video.
And it introduces something, it's in French too, but it has an intro of like, you know, my dad has been riding X amount of miles and still going, this film is dedicated to
him.
And
right.
Apparently, like, yeah, his dad really is like this avid bike person, cyclist,
yeah.
and doesn't like do everything on his bike, but is just on his bike all the time.
Totally. He's an inspiration.
Right.
Inspirational figure. So this film was dedicated to him. And yeah, really well done. I think I'm trying to remember where I saw it before because I saw it on the internet before I saw it at Film by Bike.
Okay.
And I want to say it was like a Bike Portland News Roundup or something like that. But it was cool.
I don't think I've seen any of those before. Oh, for the local ones, my favorite of the locals, well, World Naked Bike Ride. Kind of has a place in my heart. That was a really well done documentary.
Yeah, the film was called Bear as You Dare, and it was was it 17 minutes long? It was one of the longest films ever shown at Film by Bike.
Yeah,
I think they had a full length feature last year.
I gotta say, I kind of choked up a little bit.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, it was they knew where to find the emotion, and this was from what is it, Northwest Documentary?
Yes, I think Northwest Documentaries put it together.
One of the sponsors of Film by Bike and collaborators. And so, yeah, somebody working there put together this film, exploring, like, what does it take to get, you know, into a big group of people, take all your clothes off and ride a bike through Portland?
Right. And then what is the ride, like, all about?
Right, for anyone who doesn't know. So, I don't know if that film is available online or not. I assume at some point it will be, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I really would imagine they're shopping it around to other documentaries.
Possibly,
documentary,
yeah.
Festivals.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope so. That should get some
sort
of mention.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it treated it like with a lot of sensitivity, treated it with a lot of dignity, which, you know, my introduction to the World Naked Bike Ride was hearing about it from my connection in Vancouver.
Oh, right, right. You know? So it's like laundered through someone who like lives in the suburbs and hates the city of Portland and all of its liberal shit.
Yeah, yeah. All of its dirty ass liberal strip club shit.
Exactly. And that's the thing.
I love my connection in Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
You know, but their view is definitely colored because they're on the outside looking in. Of course, I'm on the inside looking out and taking pot shots at Vancouver and suburbia all the time too.
The two don't understand each other,
right?
Those are not your relatives, right? Your relatives,
they're no.
And,
well,
you and your relatives are friends with them, basically.
Right? Okay, right. So. Yeah. So it wasn't my brother's in-laws, but it was like friends of my brother's in-laws.
Okay.
That were talking about this, and this was like 3 years ago. And
I see.
You know, don't remember any of them.
Right.
But it was just like this talking about it and. As if it was like this huge, why would anyone do this to themselves? And I can't believe this is still legal. And
It's only getting more legal.
It's
also, I don't know if you knew this, it's also legal for anyone of any gender to be topless on a TriMet bus. It's in the code. Yeah, there's nothing. I believe it's been codified that.
Is there a caveat to that? It feels like there needs to be a although or however.
I don't think so.
No,
nope. I think it's just anyone can ride without a shirt.
Huh.
So yeah,
I'll be darned.
Not that it's ever happened in Portland.
You can just walk down the street naked. No,
it's true. Yeah, I think you're permitted to.
So long as you're not engaging with anybody else.
Well, it can't be lewd, right?
Right.
You can't be up to anything. But yeah, as long as it's just you and you know whatever you were born with going down the street, you're more than welcome to. You're entitled
to the suit you got on your birthday. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah. So I think you and I were talking about this probably after the film. One of the things I like about the World Naked Bike Ride is that it almost like normalizes the presence of the human body. Because I think probably the criticism from afar is like, oh, it's all these people that are like weirdly like, you know, sexual or whatever. And I mean, there's a lot of things in life that are weirdly sexual, that's for sure.
There's a lot of things in life that are overtly sexual.
Right.
And they're on TV.
Right. But I do like the idea that like the human body can be declassified or whatever, you know, like it's
well, it's our bodies.
Right.
You know?
Our bodies ourselves. Mm-hmm.
I knew I was walking into that. But seriously, like we are tabooing our own bodies, like when you taboo
sure.
kind of the naked form.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I think there's something valuable to kind of getting over that, you know, and maybe too, like just because someone isn't wearing clothes doesn't mean that that's like, I don't know, that it has to be crazy.
Right.
And even though there's a lot of like going on at the World Naked Bike Ride, it's not like
it's not an orgy.
With that, well, you definitely, yeah.
We can at least state that.
But I can say like from the,
it's not even really like overtly sexual.
Yeah. From the past 2 years, like by the time I get to the end, I'm not even really thinking about it anymore. Like it's no longer a novelty, which I guess is a good point to end the ride or something. But you know, it's like. Yeah, in fact, last year for it to be more novel, I think I ended up bicycling back this direction, and I got out to the I got out to 50th Avenue, and then I realized that the neighborhood was changing, and I kind of like I would feel safer if I had clothes on from this point forward.
Right.
Yeah, I was also on a tall bike. I think that's where someone like rolled down the window. It was a Prius that rolled up next to me and said, "Are you just doing this for fun?" And I said, "Yeah." The real ride's over, right? Uh huh. Yep. So
I'm basking in my afterglow.
That's right. So that there was that.
Yeah. So that was a really good one, but not my favorite local one.
Uh-huh. Your favorite local film.
My favorite local film is Sandy.
You can't turn off of Sandy.
You can't turn off Sandy.
Yeah, this is like a mock film trailer.
Yeah.
And it's addressing Sandy Boulevard, which some have decried as a large concrete swath of danger and problems.
Well, yeah, and it was just, I don't know, maybe it's because it's real to my experience and real to so many people's experiences,
right,
who happen to find themselves on a bike on Sandy Boulevard and kind of like you get this realization of, oh shit, I've got nowhere else to go. I have to take this all the way down to like 7th or 12th or
yeah. Yeah, I drive on Sandy River every day when I'm driving the school bus for my day job. So I've gotten familiar with it. But it's actually true. When you're driving, like, say, from Hollywood District inward, you can't make a left-hand turn on Sandy anywhere.
No.
Almost anywhere. Which can be problematic if you don't know that before you get into it. That was a decent burp. I apologize to everyone out there.
That was
no fun. Maybe I'll just pull that out. Maybe I'll edit that out.
Yeah, sure.
I won't. there was that, and there was one more. I'm trying to remember what it was. We saw a couple Russ and Laura, Pathless Pedal things.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe tonight at the end of the show, I will run that song that I recorded for them.
Oh,
because I think it's pretty much done.
Okay.
Then I need to get on right in the last one.
Yeah.
But
they made the John Day look really good.
Yeah, the John Day area in eastern Oregon.
I mean, it does look good, but I mean, like, they made it look really appealing. Like, I want to do this this summer.
Totally, totally.
Of course, now I'll have to compete with, like, 50 other cycle tourists.
Everybody's going to be doing it at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that wouldn't be bad. I think all of rural Oregon could certainly use a financial shot in the arm. You know, it's changing times, and things are, you know, things are a little bit tight, sure, for everybody. So if you can afford to go out there and spend some money at the local country store, you might as well.
Yes. Especially at the local country store.
Yeah, yeah. So they had at least two, I think, in this year's Film by Bike. One of them was the This Is Bicycle Travel or something, or What Is Bicycle Travel?
What is Cycle Touring, or What is Cycle Travel?
Yeah,
Bike which, Travel. And then they had Traveling Through Eastern Oregon, which is what I was just talking about.
Yeah, yeah. They came out with a great blog post about that, I think, when they had first done the ride, when they were filming that, just describing the route and kind of how it went, breakdown of day to day. Really well worth reading. And
was it Jonathan Maus was doing the filming, or did they have someone else filming?
I don't know.
Because that was him in some of the shots, yeah?
Was it? Well, that'd be cool if it was. I didn't recognize him.
Oh, okay. Maybe it wasn't, and I'm just totally like placing someone else's name on someone else's face.
It's cool.
We'll edit that part out, too.
We did see Jonathan at the festival, which was cool. He was there kind of taking pictures for the award show and everything, and I finally like slipped him some money for the beer that I never brought to him after I couldn't, you know, he couldn't drink the gluten full beer, and I never bought him gluten free beer. So we settled up with a handshake, and inside that handshake was some cash. So, that was cool. So yeah, you were talking this weekend about the possibility of making parody videos of what is bicycle travel?
Yes, what is cycle touring?
Because this was kind of inspired. Like we took a little camping trip last night, and there were many experiences which like they're maybe not quite as idyllic as the ones that are featured in Russ and Laura's video.
Sure, sure.
Like what were some of the lines? Like bicycle travel is.
Going deaf in your left ear as multiple sirens go by.
Right. Bicycle travel is burning your hand on the fireplace.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bicycle travel is carting your bike over the closed gate in order to camp for free.
Exactly. Exactly. That was a good trip, man. This was the first legitimate bicycle touring that, I don't know if it's touring even, or camping. We went out and camped in the woods and came back. Because I did one earlier this year where we went to like my friend's house in Vancouver and camped in his backyard.
We just got to do some sort of bike camping.
He had luxurious grass, man. That stuff was soft. It felt so good. Mm. I almost didn't need my ground pad because like the grass was so thick and lush. But I was still glad I had it. So we ended up going out this time to Gales Creek, which is amazing.
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's just west of Forest Grove on Highway 6 on the way out to Tillamook. And there's some great stuff in the Tillamook State Forest. There's a lot of stuff out there that I think I may have camped at every campground off of the 6, at least on the north side now. But there's a lot of land out there.
I got to be honest, I was tempted to suggest we go into the Tillamook Forest a little bit before coming home.
Oh, yeah?
Like, bike up whatever that highway is.
Go up to the summit. You know,
go up to the summit and come back down.
Yeah, because that goes through the pass of the coastal range, I guess. I think that's what they call them. I don't think they have any other name. The coastal range.
That's all I've known them as, anyways. Yeah.
But it's not that high. It's like, what, we got to 1,000 feet or something? And
I think, 1,100 at the most.
Yeah.
But I don't think even that.
Well, the pass itself, it's like 1,112.
Okay.
No more than 1,500. I think 1,500 is too high of a number, but I could be wrong. But yeah, it's a really nice ride. So I would say at this point, we need to make the disclaimer. We don't recommend or advocate that you used closed public facilities. No. That would be wrong and against the law, and you shouldn't do it. That being said, that's what we did.
That's what we did.
Well, and it worked out pretty nicely for us.
Yeah.
I think it depends a lot on the facility. Like sometimes.
Well, and we weren't in cars.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely.
We weren't driving in our car. I think the impact that we had on the ecosystem or on their facilities, I think, was fairly minimal.
Right. The vault toilet is a little bit fuller.
A little bit.
And the fire grate has some ashes in it. Aside from that, we helped clear away some of the forest floor, some of the limbs that have been falling down all year.
Right, right.
Yeah, it was really nice. At that Gales Creek Campground, I guess we're kind of giving away the secret now, but it's about the same distance of a ride.
I mean, Jones Creek.
That's totally, yeah. That's the one on the other side of the pass.
Right.
What's the other one that I like out there? Vernonia, the Stubb Stewart State Park.
Yeah.
That has an amazing campground as far as like it's a lot removed from the car scene because it's like a walk-in site. But Gales Creek, especially, gate is closed, has very little car traffic as well. It's right on this idyllic little stream.
I got to tell you, at some point in the night, I had to get up and go to the bathroom. And I was like,
did that.
I was like jumping at every, yeah, I was jumping at like every sound and every little shadow as I was like walking. And I didn't want to go, I don't know, for some reason, I didn't want to go all the way over to the vault toilets.
With a flashlight?
With, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, my bike light.
Right.
Using as a flashlight.
Doubles as a flashlight.
Yeah, so I like walked a little ways off from our campsite, but then was just jumping at every little sound just because it's so quiet.
It's pretty quiet out there.
It's so quiet over there.
Definitely. I started to notice my tinnitus at that point. You know?
I'm just so used to my tinnitus.
It's there.
It's just always there.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to remember. I mean, we had a fire. You do the things that you ordinarily do when you're camping.
We had a great meal.
We did.
A great camp meal, man.
Tofurkey sausages. Those things are great. I'm not vegan or vegetarian, usually by choice or by practice.
We had the kielbasa variety, too, and that helps.
Yeah. No, they were pretty tasty.
It was nice. And then the idea of just slicing the potatoes and throwing them like straight on the grill.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great idea.
We sliced them longwise. Whose idea was that?
That was your wife's.
I thought so, yeah. Yeah, Adele, she's pretty handy with food, which is good because I'm not very handy with food.
I think you were commenting that around that earlier today.
Really glad she knows how to make things, yeah.
I'm really glad you know our kitchen.
Seriously, because I don't know our kitchen. Not at all. No, that was great. I think we had, canned chili? Or canned beans?
Canned chili.
Okay, yeah.
Nelly's canned chili.
Yeah.
And if you're listening, if you want to provide us with a summer's worth of canned chili for our cycle touring.
Send us a flat and we'll sponsor the podcast for a whole year. Brought to you by Nelly's Beans. No, I was going to say that we used far less salt, I think, than I usually would use camping. Because like the camping food that I usually go for is the easy stuff, like a can of chili, which is full of salt. To the point where maybe like it's more salt than you need, even with sweat and trying to replenish your body's reserves and whatnot. But I mean, we had the potatoes, which were pretty much potatoes. There wasn't really anything on them. Yeah, zucchini and
onion.
An onion. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Sliced onion in half and
threw it on the grate.
On the grill.
Yeah. Which you said was like an old family trick, right?
That's
like,
what my dad used to do whenever he grilled out.
You grew up and you'd see an onion just sitting around getting toasty.
Yep.
But that was
along
really
with
nice.
The chicken and everything else.
Yeah. That worked out really nicely. I thought we ate pretty well, pretty healthfully.
Yeah.
Compared to the average, like
compared to other times that we would camp.
Yeah, for sure. So I think we learned something. If you can make a fire.
Let's get some taters and zucchini. And
yeah, totally. Yeah. If you get those, what's the really big Idaho potato? The enormous ones.
Is that russet?
Are they russets? Yeah, I feel like if we got those. Those would probably fit on the grate a little bit better.
A little bit better.
We were really worried about dropping food into the fire because the grate was just widely spaced enough.
It was really wide, but we also didn't want to get those big. I remember having this conversation with Adele.
Oh, really? Right, because you guys went shopping and I watched the bikes outside.
We didn't want to get the big ones because of space issues, you know, so we sort of compromised. Like, you know, you also didn't want to get the small ones.
Need a bike trailer just
because then we
would
have to get foil or whatever. And we didn't want to get foil. So, like, yeah, we kind of compromised. And we didn't think the grate was going to be that big either.
Yeah, well, usually they're a bit... the space between the bars on the grate is usually a bit smaller.
Yeah.
But
I was surprised.
I mean, it's not like we can complain. It's not like we didn't get our money's worth. So,
right.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Jones Creek.
Seriously. Well, the thing that cracked me up was the day use area in which two tents were set up. Three tents?
There was one site that had two tents on it, and then if you walked further down, there was another guy.
And it was obvious. They had been there for like weeks or something.
Well, they got their SUVs parked right there.
Yeah, yeah. It was obvious it wasn't just day use that was happening there.
Yeah.
So I guess at that point, even then, I was still paranoid. I was like, they're going to show up, they're going to find us behind the gate, and we're going to be in trouble. And
Cycle
I didn't like that idea.
Is getting arrested by the U.S. Forestry Service.
That's right. Yeah. So yeah, I remember we were talking about Tom Allen and his film
Janabar.
And book project. Yeah, he actually, when we talked to him last spring, he was saying that springtime is a great time for cycle touring on the western U.S. coast because a lot of the campsites are closed, and that means it's a lot cheaper, and you don't have to fight with crowds. It also means you have to like find your own water or services. Mm. I was very surprised that the vault toilets were open.
Yeah.
I figured they'd be like locked or something. But they were open, so we were able to use them. The pump, on the other hand, was there, but somebody took the handle. Yeah,
off.
So you can't pump that thing. I didn't even try. We talked about like trying to get the
figuring something out for it, using
things we found in the forest. But
I
next time I go camping, I'm bringing a pump handle. With me. Strap that on the back rack.
Got to figure out like what model of pump that is. And
yeah, exactly. That'd be man.
That's probably pretty heavy. That thing is like. You know,
yeah,
cast iron at least.
Yeah. I would get a bob trailer for that.
There you go.
Totally, just for the pump handle.
Just hook the bob trailer up to another trailer. The trailer is for your gear. The bob trailer is for the handle.
Exactly. Lugging cast iron all over the place. Yeah. The cool thing that we found was Gales Creek Country Store is open.
Yeah.
After a 3-year span of not being open. And that place has been open. The article that they had there in the Oregonian, I think they said that it opened in sometime in the 1800s or something like that.
That was the Oregonian?
That was the Oregonian, I believe. Unless it was the Argus, the Hillsboro Argus. But I don't usually read the Argus.
And that was last Wednesday's.
Yeah, yeah. So we were trying to figure out when the store would have opened because, they made the news on, the 26th, which is Wednesday. And then, they couldn't have been open for more than like a week or two maybe. So we got them right on the cutting edge.
Really
the cool
nice
thing
people.
Is, oh, yeah, really nice people. And the food is real.
Oh,
like
God.
You can buy the canned shit and the boxes of snacks and that sort of thing if you want to. But they're also a deli. And so we got, we got cinnamon rolls with actual real cream cheese frosting. On our way in.
Yeah.
And then on our way out, you got the quiche.
Really good
and
quiche.
And it had like buttery flaky crust. Was it?
It was a great crust
yeah,
on there.
Yeah. And we got biscuits and gravy. And it wasn't my beef usually, if you'll pardon the expression, with biscuits and gravy is usually that the biscuit is really dry and it tastes like it's not made of anything. It tastes like it's made of fluff.
Right.
And these biscuits were actually like they tasted like real ingredients.
And you and Adele split an order of biscuits and gravy.
Seriously.
And it seemed like both of you had your own separate order. It was if that was a split order, it was a huge order.
It was biscuits and gravy for $5.
Oh my God.
I wouldn't be surprised if she had ladled a little extra on. Because we were splitting it, but that was one hell of a plate. So, Gales Creek Country Store. If you find yourself going bicycle touring out in the Tillamook Forest, route yourself through Forest Grove out to Gales Creek, and stop at this little country store. You'll get your
even
money's
if you
worth.
Just need a few supplies.
Yeah, totally.
Know, stop there. They're great people.
Yeah, and they had bull riding. I think on TV.
Yeah, in Spanish.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, well, I think the guy, the man half of the couple, which are
I
the proprietors.
I think they're called husbands.
Yes. The husband of the couple is, he's Mexican, I think.
I might be a little old-fashioned.
That's possible,
in saying that. But
so, yeah.
He's of Hispanic descent anyways, yeah.
Right. I think I just turned myself into a huge racist.
You racist. Don't
right.
That's my name, or that's my word.
My apologies.
No. No, yeah, it's obvious he's of some Hispanic descent.
Yeah, but yeah, I think that was, and then on the way in, what were they had on TV, like hog tying, like there's some...
A&E's...
Hoggers?
Hoggers or something.
That was quite a show. It was amazing.
It's about people who like wrangle pigs in farms.
Yeah,
or
I think
something?
They wrangle wild pigs. I could be wrong about that.
Oh, wild pigs.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess that would make more sense. Like, why would you want to wrestle a pig at a farm?
Yeah, unless they were. Yeah, it was pretty, pretty engrossing. So, anyways, we recommend Gales Creek
and free
Country
coffee.
Store. Yeah,
free cup of coffee.
Totally. Oh, that's right. That's right. They gave out a free cup of coffee, and the banner advertising the free cup of coffee was in front of the fire station.
Under new management.
Right.
So or new owners.
Trying to figure out if the fire station was the one offering free cup of coffee. and trying to figure out how to ask that, you know, so it didn't seem like I was just like, how do I get the free shit?
Right. And you were like trying to be humorous about like, so I see the firehouse is under new ownership. I didn't know that was possible.
So
and
dumb.
It totally like went over her head. She's like, no, it's an all volunteer crew and funded by the city or something.
Exactly. Yeah. That management never changes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last thing I need to check out is the old Wilson River Road runs from that store back into the hills, and I feel like that might be an alternate route if you didn't want to ride on Highway 6. And Highway 6 is not that bad. I mean, the traffic is fair, and it's got a wide shoulder, but I am curious where that road goes. So
sure.
Got to look at that on the
Google
map.
I mean, if you can
later.
Avoid traffic as much as possible.
Yeah, for sure. That would be nice. So that was our camping trip. And then we also participated in the Pedalpalooza mashup ride, which was a wonderful time of fun to be had by all.
We're going to go there, huh?
This is what? This is a year before. It's a month before Pedalpalooza actually starts. But it's been really nice weather here in town lately, and so it was a good time to go out and have some bikey fun. And so we went out and rode our bikes. Super cool.
We rode them, and we rode them good.
Do you have any idea of how many people would have been in that group? It looked like...
it was over 50.
Yeah.
It had to be over 50.
I don't think... It probably wasn't over 100, but there was a lot of people there.
So you were there, and we were to represent our favorite Pedalpalooza ride.
That's right. So people showed up. Some of them had costumes on. Some of them had freak bikes, tall bikes, and Dan showed up with his trike, the disco trike.
Yep. One girl came as a Star Trek character.
Oh, right, for the Star Trek versus Star Wars ride. Yeah.
A bunch of tutus for the tutu ride.
Totally.
Were there.
I came without a costume or a theme.
We represented the Sprocket ride.
That's right.
That hasn't been on the schedule yet.
That will happen.
But it will happen.
Yeah, no promises. I was wearing my tall bike themed T-shirt that I got from Russ and Laura.
So, you got so many questions about that. I couldn't believe it.
That's true. Yeah. Well, it's true because I was riding just a regular bicycle and they're like, wait, you have a tall bike shirt. Do you have a tall bike? And I was like, yeah, it's at home. But yeah.
I was coming from work.
Yeah, exactly. So some people were representing the World Naked Bike Ride. Our friend Zed, who was on the show recently.
You mean one person.
One person, yeah. Well, he went down to his underwear.
It's bare as you dare.
Bare as you dare, yeah. So you don't get points knocked down from that. Right. But yeah, so there was some representation of that. What was your costume, Aaron?
Damn it.
I only ask because there's a great story that comes out of this.
There is. So I showed up just in clothes, but every now and then I wear suspenders.
Yes, you do.
Especially with this particular pair of pants that I was wearing that day.
Never with a belt.
Well, right. This pair of pants didn't have belt loops.
Right,
so
right.
I wear suspenders with it. And so, yeah, hanging out with everybody, and Zed dropped to his undies, and we rode all through downtown.
Which was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was cool. It was great.
Kind of take over Broadway for just like 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah. And across the Hawthorne Bridge.
Yeah.
Like on the grading itself.
Right, right. Not on the bikeway, but on the actually the auto traffic lane.
Yeah, that was a little nerve-wracking for me.
Yeah, well, it's got that great material. It's kind of like it's not, I don't know, it's not slippery or anything. But
No, it's not.
But it's weird.
It's bumpy. You feel it.
You look down, you can see the river below.
That's what freaks me out about it. Yeah. I'm not good with heights to begin with.
Right.
But for some reason, heights over water really freak me out.
Yeah, yeah. You've done the Bridge of the Gods, too, right? That's a worse version of that.
I have done Bridge of the Gods. Yeah, Bridge of the Gods that's on the great, too.
Because it's higher, it's taller,
and windier.
Yeah.
Much windier.
Yeah. So beware.
So we went across that. We stopped at, what was the school?
I believe it was Abernathy, is the name of the elementary school.
And
there was
some consternation from the ride leaders as to like where to go from there. And so there was like kind of a lull in the action.
Yeah.
And it was at that point that, I mean, at some point during the ride, I had this brilliant idea, but it was at the point that we were stopped that I executed said idea.
Yes.
And got into my costume.
Your costume.
And which was also representative of the World Naked Bike Ride.
Well, these are all things you were already wearing.
Right.
You just wore less of them.
I stripped down to my undies man.
Which is a big step for you. This is not something you do.
No, I'm very much an ever nude.
I think someone made the, I think Adele made the observation that we have never seen your knees.
You've never, no.
We have never ever seen your knees.
And you will never see them again.
Right, right.
Even when, look, I'm wearing shorts right now and they're still covering my knees.
Right, right. And your socks are like all the way up past your, at the end of your shorts. Yep. So, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, dropped down to everything. But this is the brilliant idea is I thought it'd be hilarious to keep the suspenders.
Oh yeah, totally. So you gotta have the suspenders.
I clipped the suspenders to my underwear. So I'm wearing like you know, my my tidy blackies
as you
for
do.
Me.
Yeah.
You know. And hook suspenders onto them and I'm riding my bike through a school parking lot. I felt a little ashamed of myself for that, but it's all part of the ride.
Anyways. Right. Well, and it didn't feel like a school because like we were all there and it was a bike ride and it was after hours.
Yeah. So yeah. And it was,
I will disavow all knowledge of that.
We'll edit the school part out.
We won't. We did ride through a lot of alleyways, which is great.
Lad
Division
sweet.
Has all these great diagonal alleys that you can kind of get lost in them. It's really hard.
I was surprised like we were able to get out.
Yeah, yeah. I remember popping out and not knowing that we were pointed the direction that we were. Yeah, it's just the nature of grid systems and angles and everything. It's funny. So, yeah, recommend that. That was a great ride. So yeah. you ran in, or well, somebody else ran into you. Someone famous.
We ran into each other.
You ran into someone famous on the ride.
That's one way of saying it. I don't know. Like I kind of want to leave her guessing my end of the story because I'm afraid if I tell my end of the story, she'll come back and be like, oh, it was totally his fault. What an asshole. And he let me play it off as if it was mine.
Well, she's a nice person from all accounts.
It's an accident, honestly. Like, So we're going around Lad's Circle, and you know, I'm just full of brilliant ideas that day, and I decide to lap everybody along Lad's Circle.
Yeah. Right in the middle of the entire development.
Right.
Yeah.
So I take off. And it's pretty easy because everybody's going at, like, you know, just a strolling pace.
Yeah, we never top 5 miles an hour on that bike ride.
So I took off. And just as I'm catching up to everybody, the ride leader veers off of Lad's Circle. So the rest of the ride is veering off. And I miss the turnoff because it's so crowded. They took over, you know, they took that whole street
right.
on that turnoff. So I take the turn off. Going the opposite direction.
Okay.
You know, or on the opposite lane. You know, how like there's that V berm or that concrete V berm.
Okay.
There. So I go past the V and then angle back in.
Gotcha. Kind of rejoining the stream of traffic.
Right. So I rejoined everybody and then I started passing everybody on the left to catch up to you guys who are way up front.
Mm-hmm.
And just as I start accelerating, this person with Bach feet veers off to the left. And, you know, I locked brakes and she locked brakes and we just ran into each other. And I ran into her box. Like, I didn't even run into her, which was great.
There was no one else on the bicycle.
No.
Yeah.
No one else was in there.
Which is funny because usually there are 6 people on that bike.
Right. So ran into her, and we're just sitting there like for a good minute or so, just both of us like, are you all right? I'm all right. Are you all right? I'm all right. Are you all right? I'm all right. Are you all right? I'm all right.
I love the Karen concern. That's great.
She was really concerned about me, actually. Like she was like, I thought I hit her way harder than she hit me.
Right.
But she was like so much more concerned, mm-hmm. like voiced a lot more concern about me.
Well, that's a big bike. A Bachfeet doesn't doesn't stop easily.
Right. Well, and it took me a while to realize like, oh, she's really concerned about like, because she mentioned road rash a lot too.
Oh, sure.
She's really concerned about that because I'm not wearing any clothes.
That's right. At this point, like you recognize, oh yeah, that's right, I'm in my underpants. So...
And in the meantime, the rest of the ride is gone. They're right, way up the street, and it's just her and me going like, are you all right? Are you all right?
Exactly. So
and so it's this lady with a Bockfietz and this weird naked dude talking to each other in the middle of the street.
Yeah. And so you leave.
And so, you know, yeah, like our bikes actually like were kind of tangled together for a while and we wrestle them apart and everything was fine. Like we looked at our bikes and they looked all right. And she took off. Oh, and she introduced herself like, oh, I'm Emily. And I'm, oh, I'm Aaron. And I didn't think nothing.
This lady was.
I didn't think anything of it. But this other girl, Lindsay, who pulled off the ride to help us out as well.
Yeah.
Was like, oh, are you going to be able to rejoin the ride? And she's like, oh, I wasn't even on the ride. I just kind of followed you guys for a little while on my way to this party or to pick up my neighbor's kids or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Something that intimated at least to Lindsay or connected the dots with Lindsay. And Lindsay's like, oh, you're that Emily. And she's like, yeah, I am. And I still didn't make the connection until like we caught up to you guys, you know, at your stop at the Plaid Division.
And that lady was Emily Finch.
Yeah.
Mother of six, biker of all of them.
Biker of all of them. Yeah. Yes. Mom on bike.
And now you know the rest of the story.
Thanks, Paul Harvey.
Yeah. So that was a good time. Yeah. And we got to meet Lindsay.
It was a great time.
From, she's been involved with the KBOO bike show time on time. I think she's no longer working with them at present because she has some other stuff to do. So, yeah, we got to get her on the show sometime.
Yeah.
And
Emily, if you're listening.
That's right.
Love to have you on the show.
Definitely.
We don't have to talk about us running into each other.
We don't have to talk about that at all.
We don't have to talk about those things.
Yeah. Well, hey, we've been talking for a while. Maybe we should go to our mail and a
mails.
Couple of headlines. Short headlines, maybe.
Sure.
What should we do first? Do you feel like mail or headlines?
Let's do headlines.
All right.
Just because, yeah, let's do headlines.
That sounds like a good idea.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
All right.
Headlines. NPR via Tyson. Bike built to achieve 100 miles per hour. My hot links aren't working.
Oh, it's okay. I've got it up here.
Wait, are they still called hot links?
I think they're called hyperlinks.
Oh. hot links are what you have for breakfast.
On your hyper card. No, this Anyways. Is one gear, one goal. The bike is good to 100 miles per hour, builder says. And this has got one monster
Holy crap. Chain ring.
It's a single speed bike. I have no idea how you would start riding this bike because the front chain ring is so big. Like it's the size
of... You have to start like at the top of Mount Tabor
probably
and coast
so.
Down.
Yeah, you would have to like begin on a decline. I'm very intrigued by this. But this is, Donahue Bicycles. And frame builder Tom Donahue has mounted a mammoth chainring onto a custom bicycle. He says the steel machine has already hit 60 miles per hour on the open road.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I mean, it's really the most exciting thing about the story here is that, yeah, it's an incredibly tiny cog in back and tons of teeth in the front. So, basically, this machine is built. And I mean, look where the handlebars are on that thing. They're so far down.
Oh, so you're like almost prone.
I mean, it's designed for you prone? To be. You're leaning forward.
Okay.
Yeah, it's designed for you to. I think just to be going ridiculously, blisteringly fast on a single speed. So that's pretty cool. This next one here is pretty great too.
Via Bike Portland, the Bike in Cafe is here.
Yeah, and this is an idea that Brandon had a long time ago, and he sent me an animated GIF of the guy from Breaking Bad saying, "You're goddamn right." he talked about the idea of riding your bike in some place and parking it at a table in which you could remain seated on your bicycle while you have a table in front of you and enjoy food or a beverage or what have you. And they've got pictures of that here. This is happening in Zurich. And, Europe is always doing interesting things. This is a temporary installment, but they really wanted to try this out and give people a place to sit on their bikes. And didn't we talk recently with some guest about, like, drive-ins versus,
like
why aren't there any bike-ins?
Right.
So anyways, there are. That's good news.
There are now.
Yeah.
Yay.
And then
do
last,
they still get service? Yeah. Do they still get service via roller skates?
I don't know. They didn't say anything in here. Anyone who tried this earlier in the month, they were treated to a complimentary cup of coffee from the cafe.
Ooh.
And the insulation, I guess, is gone now. It was up until April 13th. So what? It's the Rathaus Cafe. That's cool. And they have, I think they have a link there. So that's great. And then last story here is...
Last story, also from Bike Portland. A group of Londoners are riding across the U.S. to study urban design.
Yeah, and this is... the photo here includes... There's a ton of folks. I thought maybe it would be like two or three people from London that are going to make this trip. But in fact, how many are there here? 14 riders, two women and 12 men. And the ride is called Portland to Portland. Moss,
no shit.
Right. He writes here. Oh, where does he write it? Fuck it. I'll summarize. there are these 14 people who basically they work for the City of London, I think, or they are studying on behalf of the City of London to figure out urban design, bicycling, and how do you make those things play well together? What works best? And so they're going to travel across the United States on bicycles, starting in Portland and then ending in Portland Place, London, as it's written here, soak up cycling solutions. So they're going to go through a bunch of major U.S. cities. If you go to, I think it's Portland to Portland. Yeah, portland2portland.org, and you get details. I believe they were in Portland here on the west coast of the United States on Friday, and I think that's when they took off. Either Friday or Saturday they were leaving to go east, and then when they get to New York City and the East Coast, they're going to get on a boat or a plane, probably a plane, and then they'll finish their ride to Portland Place in London. Mm. So pretty cool. I'm excited to follow their progress and see how they do.
Too bad I missed them.
Yeah, well, I was thinking it'd be great to bump into them, but like by the time I heard about this, I'm always a couple days behind the news because like there's so many blogs that I want to read but don't. So maybe we'll talk to them some other day. But I hope they do well. I hope they really enjoy their stay. So those are our headlines. So
there they get go. That.
And then
you're taking a lot of responsibility in owning and riding a bicycle. You are now an operator of a wheeled vehicle.
We got a couple pieces of mail, so we should look into those real quick.
Dan from Minnesota, regarding episode 125, in which we mentioned something about the makers of The Walking Dead. Someone asked, why aren't they riding bikes? And
because the makers thought
like,
that they were that, stupid or
yeah,
silly.
That would make them look silly.
Mm-hmm.
Dan shares, in The Walking Dead, Rick Grimes rode a bike in the first episode. By the way, I do agree they should have been on bicycles the whole time.
Yeah. And the one time that Rick is on a bicycle in The Walking Dead, he's wearing a hospital gown, I believe, and
correct,
he's riding a kid's bike. So
to his house.
Yeah. So it's supposed to look about as silly as it possibly can, yeah. I think, kind of reinforcing their perspective that bicycles aren't a real transportation solution. The thing
that was a last resort transportation solution right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. When the world ends and your supply of petroleum dries up, what you want to do is drive cars, lots of them, fast. So
apparently so.
Yeah.
And they're just around. Like, you can even crash one
mm-hmm.
if you want.
Right. There's always another car. Well, I mean, that part is probably true. There's a
yeah,
lot of
that's
cars.
That's true. There will be cars around, I guess. Just
what was I heard a statistic that it's like for every U.S. citizen, there's five cars or something like that. Like, that's distributing
doesn't surprise
to every
me.
Man, woman, baby, and child. Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
A car in every garage. Well, a car, five cars for every person, but not necessarily in every garage.
Right. There may
a
also
lot of
be...
them in one garage and none of them in another garage.
Right. There may also be like five chickens in every pot for every U.S. citizen. I don't know. I can't vouch for that. So, yeah.
Logan shares the stupid tall bike from L.A.'s Ciclavia event.
Yeah. And this is kind of one of those events where they shut down Portland. The streets. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Have you seen this video?
I have not.
You have not. Well, let's pull some of this. This is Brock and Aaron watch YouTube. Or in this case.
Or Vimeo.
Yeah, Vimeo. But this
you
is...
You get to hear our reactions
yeah,
to
exactly.
This.
Yeah, exactly. So this is... Richie Trimble is from L.A. And apparently he's done a couple of other really interesting things with bikes. But this one here is a 14.5-foot tall bike.
Oh, God.
That he built out of an old Schwinn cruiser. And a lot of steel. And in this video, he's climbing up now, and now he's just taking off. And
oh my god, I'm about to throw up. Just
yeah, seriously,
from that camera angle.
So this is the thing. Yeah, he's got like a camera strapped to his chest, and later photos will prove he wasn't actually wearing a helmet when he did this. Which, I mean, you and I aren't huge helmet people. We don't do a lot of that.
Not particularly these days.
No. I feel like I make safe decisions in traffic, and that helmets, to a certain extent, are kind of a symbolic hat, I think is what Mike Snop called them.
Yes.
But at the same time, I feel like when you're 14 feet up in the air...
how is he going to negotiate overpass?
In the video now, he's going under an overpass, and you think... I've wondered this riding my own tall bike from time to time. Like, what's going to happen if you go underneath something that's very tall? Like, you're going to get close to it? And it turns out, as he goes under, you can see from the angle of the camera.
Oh, my gosh. He's, like, got to be crouching down.
He's scraping
something.
The top of the overpass. Like, he's going underneath this thing. And, like, he can touch the top. Only 2 inches above my knuckles is the inscription here. And he made it out. But... It's so ridiculous.
Oh my god, that was a huge wide bike lane.
Yeah, definitely. LA's got a couple of things. Wow.
Oh my god.
At that point, I think he's blocked in by car traffic crossing a major arterial and someone riding a bicycle next to him. And of course,
for him. Yeah.
As a tall bicycle, he can't just stop and balance in place.
Oh.
So, yeah, he's riding kind of contra flow to a lot of people riding bikes in the event down here. And I believe Purple and Orange may have actually been on the same big
ride.
At this
particular event.
Yeah, I think they were there.
Huh.
It's pretty intense. Now he's riding over yellow tape and kind of making his way through an intersection. It's just, you know the feeling you get, like... Some people call it like when your stomach drops, or I tend to get this feeling like down in my groin of like supreme discomfort, like something very bad is going to happen here. That's the feeling I'm getting as I'm watching this video.
I'm waiting for it to like.
Yeah, it's like 3 or 4 minutes of just riding this tall bike, and now he's in an alley that is not as wide. It's probably not 14 feet wide. That's pretty crazy.
He said this guy has done like different things with bikes.
Yeah,
before.
You know, I haven't looked into all of these yet, but he's riding out onto this pier now.
Oh,
and in a minute he's going to get tangled up in a kite string, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's pretty interesting, just like the dynamics. Yeah, kite string right here that he kind of gets entangled in, and now he's leaning up against the pole at the end of the pier. And climbing down. It's pretty fucking rad. But that is, in fact, Stupid Tall is the name of the bike. And that
is
might
Stupid
be,
Tall, man.
You can go to richiet.com if you want to see some of that. this concludes with some photographs. But that is absolutely, absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of him for doing this. I'm also, I would never do this myself.
No.
Never in a million years. The only reason I am okay with the tall bike that I have now is because I can climb down off of it whenever I feel that I need to stop.
Right.
I think that's a good principle for any time you're riding a bicycle.
Well,
if
for some reason if you need to bail, like you can't bail off of a 14-foot bike. Like,
No. That will be
you're
a
gonna have some damage.
That'll be a bailing that ends in bailing wire or something. I don't know. Yeah. It's terrible. So that thanks Logan for sending that on. That's pretty pretty impressive. So yeah.
Oh, wow. So last piece of mail is
oh,
from,
yeah, this is the story we already told, right?
Yes, from Emily Finch herself.
Yeah, this was passed on to us by Zed.
Okay. So for those of you who don't live in Portland, it's not unusual to see huge groups of costume or naked people on bikes in the summer, particularly during Pedalpalooza. This particular ride was a Pedalpalooza mashup ride, like a pre-Pedalpalooza ride. I don't know. They rode by my house, and then when I left and got into the traffic circle in my neighborhood, they were all there.
We were.
I ended up briefly joining the ride because I couldn't get out of it to where I was going. I finally got myself over to the left to get out and turn around, but didn't see the guy coming up behind me.
Which guy is this, I wonder?
I basically left hooked him. Knocked both of our bikes completely on their side. First time that's happened to me, except for this one time going into my driveway. Both our bikes were fine, and no road rash or anything. Of course, I was wearing boots and a leather vest, and he was wearing... He was wearing...
The suspense is killing me.
Why can't I remember what his name was? Why? He was wearing very tight black underwear and suspenders.
Yes. Yeah. So she has been sharing this story online. I think you said it was on her Twitter feed, right? She kind of had a couple Twitter messages about
this. Her Twitter feed said something about first the toilet clogged, and then I hit the naked guy.
Right.
Best day ever.
And I think I made the observation that you're only naked because everyone around you has more clothes on than you.
Right, right.
I mean, those were, they were not small underpants, and you also had suspenders.
As far as I
well covered.
I felt that those were the underpants that fit me best.
That's good. That's good.
I mean, I don't try them on before I take them home, but
right. I think that's technically illegal, at least in this state and possibly in others. But
I didn't think they were that tight, in all honesty. But
right, well, they were only tight by the effect of the suspenders.
Probably. Yeah.
Well, hey, it's been a good show.
Yeah.
Shall we close her out?
Let's close it.
All right. Thanks, everybody. I can't remember what's happening next week, so go check out our website and you'll find out.
Yeah. Yeah. And join us for our Pedalpalooza ride that we haven't decided yet.
That's
what
right.
It's going to be.
Sorry, that was the closing of the headlines.
Let's try that one more
I'll edit
time.
That out.
And join us for...
I won't. Here it is.
All right.
We're on the internet.
At thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program and suggestions for topics and or guests and or drinks. Write us via email. The address is... thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com, or call and leave us a message at 503-847-9774.
You can text to that too, 847-9774.
Connect with us on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. Find him on the internet at ryanjlane.bandcamp.com. Thanks to Hurtbird for our headline sounder. Find them at hurtbirdmusic.com. Thanks to my brother Tito for calling me and leaving crappy messages. I mean, funny messages. Peace.
Keep your underpants on. We'll see you next week. I mean, or take them off. I don't care.